It's good to be here with you. I'm going to pray one more time. If you join me, I need to do that. Let's do that together. Father, just asking you for your help right now, asking you for your help as I open my mouth to articulate your words, and your help for these wonderful people to receive your word with humility, with joy, with gladness, with expectation. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would deliver the message that each of us needs to hear today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree, you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're a Christian today, if you have turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ, then I want to remind you today, this morning, of some amazing news, that you have peace with God. Because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and through faith in Jesus Christ, you, if you're a Christian today, you've moved from death to life, and you've moved from enmity to peace. And this is remarkable news. That in the midst of all that's happening in the world today, and more importantly, in light of the reality of eternity, that we are secure in Christ, that we have peace with God, that we are guarded, that we are loved by God, that we can know the God of peace, and as a result, we have the peace of God. It's amazing news. But if you're honest with yourself, like I am so many days, you'll find that there are many days we just don't feel very peaceful. Isn't that right? We're distracted, we're frazzled, we're anxious, we're burdened. Maybe you came into this place today and that's the state of your heart. You just feel not so at peace, more disrupted. Well, I want you to know that God understands that. In fact, in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, the verse preceding our text today that we're going to get to in a moment, the exhortation from the Apostle Paul was to replace all our anxieties with prayer. I want you to notice it. I believe it's on the screen for you. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here that it's possible in the Christian life to know the God of peace, and yet, at any given moment, to fail to enjoy the peace of God. And that's why Paul tells us to actively replace our anxieties with prayer so that we can begin to enjoy, as a matter of experience, the peace of God that we have as children of God. Well, this morning, the Apostle Paul gives us something a little bit more. Yes, Paul wants us to actively replace our anxieties with prayer. That's Philippians 4, verse 6. And yes, Paul wants us to allow then the peace of God to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 7. But there's something else. Paul wants us to understand that when the peace of God is ruling in our hearts through prayer, listen now, it produces the pursuit of a kind of thinking. And that's Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. A kind of meditation, a kind of thinking. What kind of meditation? What kind of thinking? Well, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9, and we're going to see the meditation, the thought life that makes for peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Apostle Paul says at the end of his letter to the church at Philippi. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. All right, I have 2 points for us today and then a bunch of sub-points in the middle. So let's get started with this. What the peace of God produces. Point number one is this. It produces a disciplined mind. It produces a disciplined mind. I want you to notice verse 8 again. It says, finally, brothers, but then it ends with, think about these things. Verse 8 begins with finally, because Paul is coming to the end of his letter to the church at Philippi, and he's going to sum up all that he's taught in this section. And verse 8 ends with, think about these things, because he's going to cap off his letter with a list of imperatives. Imperatives that describe the meditation of the mind that is ruled by peace. Now, here's a question I want you to ask yourself. Why is it that so many of us don't live in the reality of the peace that belongs to us as children of God? Why is it that anxiety and inner turmoil and confusion and worry and fear too often win the day in our lives and in our hearts? Well, it's because the heart that's ruled by the peace of God is not passive, but it must actively pursue a kind of thinking that continues to bear the fruit of peace. This is what Paul is telling us here in Philippians chapter 4. For example, we may well do what Paul tells us to do in verse 6. We may well pray about all our anxieties and burdens, but listen, if we passively allow our minds to be formed by all the things that produce anxiety, then we will impede the flow of peace that prayer is intended to produce. It was Jonathan Edwards who once said, "The ideas and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern them." I'm going to read that one more time. Jonathan Edwards said, "The ideas and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern them." So I just want you to consider for a moment how many ideas and images and worldviews and narratives that we passively allow to fill our minds every single day. I read one time that there are 500 million posts on the social media platform X every single day. I read that there are 4 million new videos uploaded to YouTube every single day, with over 1 billion hours of YouTube watched by users every single day. I read that there were 95 million posts on Instagram every single day. Just consider how staggering that is. Consider how every single day our minds are inundated, our minds are burdened with news and controversies and opinions and do this and don't do that and 5 ways to improve your life and 10 ways to 10 things to avoid when and on and on and on it goes. Now, I got off social media a long time ago, but just reading these statistics exhausts me. And here's the reality. So many of us are just passively allowing hundreds and thousands of messages to fill our and form our minds every single day. Here in the final verses of Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul is very concerned that the church at Philippi disciplined their minds to meditate upon the things that make for peace. It requires a disciplined mind. It's an active meditation. It's an active pursuit. In fact, this is what the mind that is ruled by peace produces, this desire, this active discipline, as Colossians 3:2 puts it, to set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So, what does this look like exactly? I'm going to show you a number of things from our text, and then we're going to wrap up and trust that the Lord will use it powerfully, and that this week we will go into our week with an intentional pursuit of a meditation of the mind that makes for peace. A disciplined mind that bears the fruit of peace. Firstly, I want you to notice this. It believes the truth. It believes the truth. Verse 8, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, and then he ends saying, think about these things. Very simply, yet very powerfully, Paul says, think about these things. What things, Paul? Whatever is true. Whatever is true. The first and best question you can ask yourself as you begin to meditate on something is this: is it true? Or is it a lie? Or is it some kind of false narrative or a perversion of the truth? Here's the problem with so much of the messages we receive through social media. In many cases, you have no idea of knowing what's true. And you're taken captive very often by what is a lie. A disciplined mind that produces peace and is consistent with peace, believes the truth. Secondly, a disciplined mind focuses on the spiritual and the eternal. Verse 8 again. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, here it is now, whatever is honorable, then he says, think about these things. The word honorable or noble here, it literally means to revere. To think about what is honorable or worthy of reverence is to cultivate a spiritual perspective, not a worldly or trivial perspective. To think about what is honorable is to constantly assess your worldview. What is a worldview? It's just the lenses through which you look to see the world. What is the lens that you look through which to see the world? Christians have a biblical worldview. We look through the lenses of the scriptures in order to understand the world. And so, do I allow my mind to meditate on that which is earthly or shameful or dishonorable, or from the vantage point of a biblical worldview, do I flee from what is dishonorable and irreverent? A disciplined mind believes the truth. It focuses on the spiritual and the eternal. Third, a disciplined mind embraces what is right. Verse 8 again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, notice this now, whatever is just, he says, think about these things. Other translations render this, whatever is right. The original Greek translates it righteous. The idea here is to be resolved to understand what accords with God's righteous standards. For example, we should be constantly asking the question when inundated with an idea or ideas or narratives, do current cultural narratives and ideologies accord with God's righteous standards? Well, how do we know if they accord with God's righteous standards? Well, we are looking at the world through a biblical lens. And if what we're hearing, what we're receiving doesn't accord with the Bible, it doesn't accord with God's righteous standards. So we ask ourselves these questions. And if things that we're embracing don't accord with God's righteous standards, then we need to examine our hearts and ask the question, why am I so often willingly immersing myself in that which does not accord with God's righteous standard? Paul says, think about whatever is just. Meditate on these things. It's an active pursuit of the mind. The disciplined mind, it believes the truth. It focuses on the spiritual and the eternal, embraces what is right. Fourthly, a disciplined mind, notice, enjoys what is pure. Enjoys what is pure. Very often, my wife and I have sat down to watch a program or a movie, only to turn it off again because, simply put, it wasn't pure. Or in other words, it was full of sin. Look at verse 8 again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, think about these things. The word pure, what does it mean? In the original, it means literally to be free from sin. And while it's impossible to completely avoid sin in this world and in this life, while it's impossible to completely avoid sin in every single program you watch or every single movie you take in, it is not impossible to make intentional decisions of the mind, decisions of wisdom, not to be entertained by or engaged unnecessarily in sin. That's possible, and that's the high bar that the Apostle Paul is putting up. He's saying, whatever's pure, I want you to think about that. Think about whatever is pure. This is what the mind that's ruled by peace pursues. Now, there have been many moments where I can look back at my life, maybe you can relate to this, where I've watched a movie or I've watched a program, and for example, it's filled with violence. And I've walked away from something like that, and my heart has felt very unsettled. Now, it didn't really happen. It's just a movie. It's fictional. But after being exposed to all of this, I walk away and I find my heart burdened sometimes. You ever have that experience? The problem is when we become so desensitized to these things that we allow ourselves to be engaged in and entertained by sin, that it no longer impacts us. Paul says, whatever is pure, I want you to think about those things. That's the disciplined mind that lives consistently with who we are as children of God, at peace. We are at peace. So a disciplined mind, it believes the truth. It focuses on the spiritual and the eternal. It embraces what is right. It enjoys what is pure. Fifthly, a disciplined mind, note this, seeks what is pleasing to God. Verse 8 again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, here it is now, whatever is lovely, lovely, think about these things. The word lovely is translated sweet or gracious. It's an interesting word. The word appears only here in the entire New Testament. The idea here is to seek out a meditation that is pleasing to God. Seek out, pursue a meditation that is sweet, that is gracious, a meditation that pleases the Lord. This is powerful, loved ones. Think about this. To be so close to Jesus Christ that we would be so intentional in our thought life, that we would seek, we would pursue a meditation on that which is pleasing to Him, that we would choose as a matter of discipline and intentionality, active discipline, active intentionality, to turn off all the noise. The world is filled with noise. To turn off all the noise and to set your mind on a meditation that is pleasing to God, to reflect on what is pleasing to God. When was the last time you reflected on your godly friendships? and you just gave thanks to the Lord. That's a pleasing meditation to the Lord. Or when was the last time you turned off all the noise and you just sought to reflect on the beauty that God is forming in your family, and you just sat down and you had a journal in front of you and you said, Lord, I'm setting this as my meditation. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for our church family. I'm just filling my heart with thanksgiving, filling my heart with a meditation that is lovely, that is sweet, that is gracious, that is pleasing to the Lord. This is a heart that is ruled by peace. This is a heart that experiences the peace of God, seeking a meditation that is pleasing to the Lord. Let me encourage you, if you're not a journaler, you don't journal, get a journal. Some of the sweetest times in prayer that I've had have been with a journal in front of me where I write out these meditations that are pleasing to the Lord, and I allow these thoughts to fill me with peace. A disciplined mind, it believes the truth, it focuses on the spiritual and the eternal, embraces what is right, enjoys what is pure, seeks what is pleasing to God. Six, a disciplined mind, note this, pursues what is commendable. Paul says in verse 8, whatever is commendable, think about these things. The word commendable, it carries the same theme forward. The Greek translates it, that which is highly regarded. Just think about that. The thoughts that we choose to meditate on, are they highly regarded? What if we pursued a thought life of integrity? That which is highly regarded. So that we weren't just concerned about what people thought about us as they looked on the outside, but what if people could look on the inside? What if they could see our thought life? Thank God nobody can see our thoughts, but God can. And even more motivation that if someone can see into our thoughts, God can see into our thoughts. And what if we committed ourselves to a thought life that was commendable, that was filled with integrity, that which was highly regarded, so that God would look and be pleased with a meditation of the mind upon things that are highly regarded, filled with integrity. I know what this means for us, loved ones. This means that much of what we are receiving through social media, you have to disregard quickly and swiftly. It means that much of what we see in the world around us, we have to disregard quickly and swiftly as a matter of discipline of the mind in order to set our minds on that which is filled with integrity, that which is commendable. A disciplined mind believes the truth, it focuses on the spiritual and the eternal, and embraces what is right, enjoys what is pure, seeks what is pleasing to God, pursues what is commendable. Finally, and to sum it all up, a disciplined mind, note this, meditates on all that is excellent. Look at the text. Paul says, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's summing it all up. He's just putting it all in this big bucket. He's saying, if there is anything at all that is excellent, and if there is anything worthy of praise, just get your mind, get your hearts around this. Anything at all, think about that. Meditate on that. Now, there's an ancient fable out of the Middle East which tells of three merchants crossing the desert. I want to share it with you. They were traveling at night, these three merchants, in the darkness to avoid the heat of day. And as they were crossing over a dry creek bed, a loud voice commanded them to stop. They were then ordered to get down off their camels, to stoop down and pick up pebbles from the creek bed and put them into their pockets. Immediately after doing so, they were then told to leave and continue until dawn before they stopped to set up camp. This mysterious voice told them that in the morning they would be both sad and happy. Understandably shaken, they obeyed the voice and traveled on through the rest of the night without stopping. When morning dawned, these three merchants anxiously looked into their pockets, and instead of finding the pebbles as they expected, they found precious jewels. And they were both happy and sad. Happy that they had picked up some of the pebbles, but sad they hadn't gathered more when they had the opportunity. The fable illustrates for us the reality of our opportunity in the Christian life. That there is a day coming for the children of God that we will stand before God and realize with crystal clarity in that day the treasure that we had in God's word. There's a day coming where we'll stand before God and we'll realize on that day with crystal clarity the beauty of God's thoughts. There's a day coming where we'll stand before God and we'll realize with crystal clarity the peace-producing power of a mind that is set on Jesus Christ, the opportunity that we had. And on that day, we probably won't be thinking, I took advantage of every opportunity. I capitalized on every opportunity to meditate on all that was excellent, to experience all the peace that God had for me, to fill my mind and form my life with all of God's thoughts found in God's word. No, somehow, we'll probably on that day have a sense that if we could do it all over again, we would immerse our minds in whatever is excellent, so that we would stop forfeiting the peace that is offered and given to every child of God who knows the God of peace. Now, I pray today by God's grace that we can have a greater sense of clarity with regards to our opportunity, that we would stop passively allowing things to fill and form our minds. We would ask ourselves today, how much time am I really wasting? How much peace am I really forfeiting by not taking advantage of the precious opportunities every single day, every single moment of the day, to immerse my mind in what is true and eternal and right and pure and pleasing to God and commendable and excellent. This is the pursuit of a disciplined mind. And I was praying for you this morning, and I was asking God to help me to help you today in some way. And my prayer is that as you leave this place in a few moments, you would have a new resolve to discipline your mind and experience increasing peace, the peace that comes from knowing the God of peace. The peace of God produces a disciplined mind. And then really quickly, there's one more thing I want you to see. The peace of God not only produces a disciplined mind, finally and quickly this, the peace of God produces then a disciplined life, a disciplined life. There's two imperatives in verses 8 and 9. The imperative of verse 8 is think about these things. The imperative of verse 9 is practice these things. Verse 9, and what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, I'm living this out. You've seen it in my life. Now I want you to do the same, and your life will know a greater enjoyment of the peace of God, and your life will experience the nearness of the God of peace, that He will be with you. Loved ones, we are living in unprecedented days. We are living in noisy days, noise that seems impossible to escape. Noise that we have become in many ways desensitized to. And we're living in days where there's probably a record high of Christians living with disrupted hearts and disrupted peace. But this is not who we are. Those who know the God of peace are given the peace of God. And my prayer for us today is that we would all take a moment, even right now, to look into our hearts, to consider your own heart, and to consider the things that you aren't even aware you are allowing to fill and form your mind. And maybe today is a day of repentance. Maybe today is a day of confession. Perhaps today is a day of transformation. Maybe you say, Lord, forgive me because I am just on my phone all day long. When I wake up in the morning, I just reach over and I grab that thing and I just begin to scroll. Maybe you need to say, Father, forgive me for that. I want to fill my mind with truth so that I can have a greater enjoyment of the peace I know in Jesus Christ. Worship team's going to come now, and I'm going to encourage you to pray with me right now. I just gave one example. Maybe there's some in the room and your phone is the thing that is in your face all day long forming your thoughts. You're passively allowing social media to shape you, but maybe there are other things. Maybe there are other things that you recognize you're allowing passively to fill and form your life, your mind, your heart. And today you're saying, Lord, forgive me. I want to have an active, disciplined mind. I want to fill my mind with all the things you command me to, so that I can know genuine peace. Maybe in this moment you want to say, Lord, I'm turning my eyes towards you right now. Fill me. Strengthen me. Help me to discipline my life. God of peace, fill my heart with the peace of God. Lord Jesus, I pray this for the people in this room, every single one. You know them, you know the struggles, you know the pain, you know the sorrows, you know the peace that's being forfeited, you know it all. I pray this church would increase in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, you can say amen.